We planned to break the pile the day before the feast, but it was bigger than any we had made before, and it was still not cool enough. And if you break a pile before it is ready, then the fire will flare up with terrible force and burn all the half-made charcoal into ash. And so we made certain every vent was properly sealed, and reckoned we would have time to break it on Yule morning before the celebrations began. Most of Ragnar's men and their families were already at the hall, sleeping wherever they could find shelter, and ready for the first meal of the day, and for the games that would take place in the meadow before the marriage ceremony. But Breda and I spent that last night up at the pile, for fear that some animal would scratch through the turf, and so start a draught that would revive the burn. I had serpent breath and wasp sting, for I would go nowhere without them, and Breda had Neatgenger, for she would go nowhere without him, and we were both swathed in furs because the night was cold. When a pile was burning, you could rest on the turf and feel the heat, but not that night because the fire was almost gone. "If you go very still," Breda said after dark, "you can feel the spirits." I think I fell asleep instead, but sometime toward dawn I awoke and found Breda was also asleep. I sat up carefully, so as not to wake her, and I stared into the dark, and I went very still and listened for the Skadegengen. Goblins and elves and sprites and spectres and dwarves, all those things come to Midgard at night and prowl among the trees. And when we guarded the charcoal piles, both Breda and I put out food for them so they would leave us in peace. So I woke, I listened, and I heard the small sounds of a wood at night, the things moving, the claws in the dead leaves, the wind's soft sighs. And then I heard the voices. I woke Breda, and we were both still. Neatgenger growled softly until Breda whispered that he should be quiet. Men were moving in the dark, and some were coming to the charcoal pile, and we slipped away into the blackness under the trees. We could both move like shadows, and Neatgenger would make no sound without Breda's permission. We had gone uphill because the voices were downhill, and we crouched in utter darkness and heard men moving around the charcoal pile. And then there was the crack of flint and iron, and a small flame sprung up. Whoever it was searched for the folk they reckoned would be watching the charcoal, but they did not find us, and after a while they moved downhill, and we followed. Dawn was just leeching the eastern sky with a wolf-grey edge. There was frost on the leaves and a small wind. "We should get to Ragnar," I whispered. "We can't," Breda said. And she was right, for there were scores of men in the trees, and they were between us and the hall, and we were much too far away to shout a warning to Ragnar, and so we tried to go around the strangers, hurrying along the hill's ridge so we could drop down to the forge where Old Wolf slept. But before we had gone halfway, the fires burst into life. That dawn is seared on my memory, burnt there by the flames of a hall burning. There was nothing we could do except watch. Kjartan and Sven had come to our valley with over 100 men, and now they attacked Ragnar by setting fire to the thatch of his hall. I could see Kjartan and his son, standing amid the flaming torches that lit the space in front of the door, and as folk came from the hall, they were struck by spears or arrows, so that a pile of bodies grew in the firelight, which became ever brighter as the thatch flared and finally burst into a tumultuous blaze that outshone the light of the grey dawn. We could hear people and animals screaming inside. Some men burst from the hall with weapons in hand, but they were cut down by the soldiers who surrounded the hall, men at every door or window, men who killed the fugitives, though not all of them. The younger women were pushed aside under guard, and Thyra was given to Sven, who struck her hard on the head and left her huddled at his feet as he helped kill her family.